beginning, it might feel a bit kind of even awkward or strange to us, right? And I would like to make sure that we all feel kind of good, or at least not bad with it. And if you feel some of the points of the sadhana, not the sadhana only, but the whole thing of purifying and the whole thing of even samsara nirvana or whatever, if you feel it's difficult or complex, or maybe kind of, how to say that, kind of even itchy to you, like uncomfortable, let me know, because I've digested quite a bit in, you know, in this kind of practices, and I've had all kind of doubts and things, you know, and so maybe I can be of some help, at least in putting some reflections maybe on how this can work. If you all feel comfortable with it, that's very good. And we just go ahead. But if you feel some parts or something of what we're doing is uncomfortable for you, or you have doubts or whatever, please let me know. Even if it's by the chat, just to me, or it's good. There are no silly questions. It's not that I should be doing this or that, or believing this or that. No, it's all a matter of experiencing it by oneself, giving some trust that, well, maybe it might work, and that's the way of approaching it if you want it to work. So really feel free to say anything if you want. Yeah, Neil.
Yeah, hi. I practice the short sadhana every day, the one that you showed us.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, there's an opportunity, although I don't have a highest yoga tantra empowerment, there's an opportunity for me to arise as a deity from emptiness. But what I find a little bit challenging about this practice is that if you haven't got a highest yoga tantra empowerment, you don't have that opportunity.
Let me
see. That's how I understand it anyway, but maybe I've misunderstood.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's well, in the short sadhana, what do you mean? In this,
well, maybe that's just how I've interpreted it, but in the
because you know which sadhana we're talking about is the short one composed by Lama Zopa Rinpoche, right?
Yeah. That one. Yeah, I think so. So
resources.
Your body, speech, and mind become inseparably one with Guru Vajrasattva's holy body, speech, and mind.
Okay. Yeah. So here we're supposed to feel that our body, speech, and mind have been completely purified, and they are in the essence of Vajrasattva. But it's not that now we visualize ourselves as Vajrasattva. This is what we usually do in this sadhana.
So am I doing it wrong then?
Well, it's usually if you haven't received the empowerment, just don't go. You can go like, I have the energy of Vajrasattva, but not like my face is the face of Vajrasattva and my arms are the arms of Vajrasattva. We usually don't do that. We do this. In the practice of Buddha Shakyamuni, there's one practice with Buddha Shakyamuni in which we can visualize then ourselves arising as Buddha Shakyamuni with or without having taken any empowerment. But apart from that, all other practices, they will require initiation.
Okay, all right. I do have the initiation, but it's just not the highest yoga tantra one.
Oh, then it's fine. Oh,
I see, right. Okay.
Then it's fine. Yeah, but here in the sadhana we're working with, one arises as Heruka. Heruka,
yeah, sure.
Highest yoga tantra. So, yeah. Huh. You understand the workings of this? We do need, the initiation gives us not only permission, but there's something happening during the initiation. The guru shows us the way. So it's it gives us an imprint in our mind so that we can work well with this. Without this, we might be moving our energies in a way that you know, we're not prepared for, and that's why it's not recommended, advised, and rather it's said just don't do it, you know, better. But our main energy here, as we have been saying, is Vajrasattva here on top. This is where we focus our main energy, not the matching being the deity, but all the showering and then when we absorb the refuge field, and at the end when we absorb Vajrasattva, we become one, in the sense that our body, speech and mind are completely purified. And this can happen because our mind, it has the Buddha potential, it has the Buddha nature, which is, it might seem something strange to us, but it's just what mind is. Mind is this capacity for knowing and for feeling harmonious with everything. You know, mind is pure and in the sense that it can see reality just directly. It's just that in the state we are now, there are stains and veils. You know, it's there. We are not contacting with our full potential, our innate way of being. It's there, but our attention is not there. I mean, our attention is in the more superficial parts, and our perception is tainted by that. So the way we perceive reality is filtered by ignorance. We'll go into that maybe tomorrow a little bit. So we see things like this is like that, this is like that, this is like that, you know? It's very fixed, very inherently existent. It's coming from there. But actually, it's all interdependent, and the way we perceive and what our mind is doing is knowing reality, but right now through our perception, which is limited. It's limited by our senses. First of all, we can only now, mainly, most of us, perceive through what it comes through our senses. So it's completely filtered. If we had a sixth sense or even a seven or an eighth sense, we could perceive different things. We just perceive what our body and senses allow us to perceive. So it's just a small portion of reality. And then our brain and the way our mind works and the karmic seeds that we were talking in the morning of ignorance, they fix the things. I mean, we only take a portion of reality. It's filtered through our way of perceiving. An experience is shaped in the form of an experience, and we think that this experience, this thing we're experiencing, it just comes from there. It is like that. No, we've just been contributing to this. We just framed reality, took small part of it, you know. It's in our mind, it's stuck into this way of seeing it, and we don't realize that our mind is contributing in fixing it in this way. And now this thing that it's been fixed, now we think it comes from there. It's all there is. Reality is that. No, this is the experience or my experience of that. But it doesn't mean this is out there. There's been a contribution from my mind. First, there's been filters, and then the way it's perceived and it's fixed in form of experience, my mind is contributing. You know, we're kind of trapped into this. I have no freedom to see it Otherwise, I see it bad and I feel it's bad, and it's bad coming from there, and it's good coming from there, and it's painful coming from there. And this is it. And I don't have the freedom to see it more spacious and more interdependent. You follow me? So that's why karma can be purified. We feel it's there, we're stuck with that. No, we're not stuck with that. This has been experienced in one way, but now that we're purifying, we're changing the experience, we're changing phenomena within. So we can change the way we experience things. So now that karma is purified. Why? Because things are not so objective as we think. They got objective when we think of them. Otherwise, they are not. They are just completely interdependent. And they can be perceived like this or like that or like that or like this. But we are trapped into perceiving it only like this. This is inherent existence. So I don't know why I'm going that way now. Well, because it's all in the sadhana. So our innate mind, it's free from all these ways of perceiving mistakenly. We can perceive with much more freedom, right? So when we think we are one body, speech, and mind with the guru Vajrasattva, we're contacting our inner potential for wisdom, for compassion, our Buddha nature, which is called, or our primordial nature, right? So we just stay there for a while. We can think a little bit logically the how we understand emptiness, or we can just imagine we're understanding it and just stay there, and something is morphed there. So this is the important thing when we absorb the Guru Vajrasattva or the refuge field, and we just stay there. And Kevin was going to say something, I think. Kevin?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I kind of struggle with like trying to see Vajrasattva or think of Vajrasattva as like a separate being that I'm getting in touch with. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's good. So this is because you think it's not separated from you, or because you think it doesn't exist, something else that I cannot see?
Yeah, I think it's more of the doesn't exist. Not sure that it doesn't exist, but, you know, I don't like have super faith that Vajrasattva is in space somewhere, you know, whatever. And it's true.
So you can work with this if it's comfortable with you, whether it is there or not, it doesn't mind. If you think it's there, it works. Mm-hmm. If you're comfortable with this, then go with this. But apart from that, where the mind is very connected to our energies, right? So if we put, when we move our minds, we're moving our energies as well. If we put our minds in a state of purification, our energies can go into that state, right? And when we visualize things or we imagine things are there and this kind of energy is there, you can imagine the form of Vajrasattva, but if it's more comfortable for you, you can start with imagining light or imagining this capacity of purification in the universe. And now it's manifesting in the form of Vajrasattva, but if it's difficult for you, just imagine this capacity, this energy. And if you do it slowly, there's this energy that is within your mind and your body, and also can go, there's something here. You can even start feeling kind of things here, or, you know, when doing the showering and everything. So This requires some practice, but there's a logic. There's a logic also there. Unless you think it's all matter, you know, cells and matter and that's it. That the mind is only a few connections in the brain. But as long as matter, I wanted to go there. Maybe we can go there tomorrow. As long as matter is not the only thing in the universe, but there's also energy, you know, and there's also mind, this capacity for knowing, and we're something else than just a few, not a few, but plenty, an incredibly rich amount of cells working. If we're something else, then this is much more subtle. And then this can connect with other minds. And by us opening to the fact that there can be other beings around, be it in the form of Vajrasattva, or you can think of your guru, or someone that you think it inspires you and can have this energy, you know, in the universe. Then our mind gets connected with this capacity. This is what blessings are. When we say blessing, it's a very kind of religious word because it's been translated like that. But actually, in Tibetan, the word terminologically means great transformation, or bigger, magnificent transformation. You know, it means there's something that connects with you and this transforms you. And this is really beautiful. If we say blessings, maybe it's something very magical, but if our minds are really something subtle that can connect, then we better connect with those who have power, you know, who are there, who really are touching their primordial innate nature. So this is what we're doing with Vajrasattva. Now, and this awakens our potential for purification. You know, it contacts. So this is the whole play here, the whole thing we're doing here. And if we struggle, the advice could be done. Just give it the opportunity. You know, when you give it the opportunity, things happen slowly. Sometimes slowly, sometimes it depends, but things happen. I'm gonna read something. I wanted to read it at some other point, but now it's a good moment. I'm still with Rupris, preparing for Tantra. This is the second thing I wanted to read, so I think it fits very well. In meditation, when we invoke this visualized form, we touch the innate nature of our primordial mind. Our innate pristine nature, symbolized in the form of the male and female deity in union, is the root of all purification. When we understand this symbol, this means the union of male and female, this is transcending, we are male, we are female, this is the union of all we can be, transcending this, male and female. When we understand this, we see why this practice can be such a powerful and transformative process. It is like tapping into a natural source of health and using it to burn away sickness. It is like lightning, a powerful fire of brilliant white heat that burns away the darkness of obscuration from the mind. It is like washing the impure energy within our system with pure nectar. It does have a powerful psychological. Psychologically, it can be quite easily understood. It has a powerful psychological explanation, but I think it goes beyond just psychology in the terms we usually know it. It's contemplative science. It's something that transcends the psyche that we know, you know, the conscious and the unconsciousness. It goes even more subtle than that. As we purify with the essential quality of Vajrasattva and consort, we cleanse the mind from its obscuring veils and the energy winds that the mind rides upon any toxicity. Thus, our mind is freed from the veil of ignorance that prevents us from seeing the nature of reality. Where the mind goes, the energy in the body goes, the energy winds go. It's very connected. We can see it when we are agitated. There's agitated energy and distracted and agitated mind, right? And when there's anger, there's some energy with this anger. When there's balance, a balanced mind, the energy also gets balanced. So it goes very, very close to each other, and the energies move within our body. So by doing these visualizations, we're at the same time, we're calming our energies. We're cleansing our channels, the energy in the bodies, and then by doing this, we also cleanse our mind. Does it make sense? Kind of. Okay. So most important is not as much as the visualization, is especially that we have this power of purification. We use all we can. We could purify. I am purifying myself. But when we contact with this energy of other beings that can help us, this can become more powerful. Okay, right, so there's another question. Here we can arise in page 9 as Heruka, then Heruka Vajrasattva. This is Vajrasattva in the context of Heruka, in on top of our heads, and we keep being Heruka, but we focus there on Vajrasattva, there, on the crown. And then at the end of the sadhana, we absorb Vajrasattva, right? And we become one body, speech, and mind with Vajrasattva. And there's no any more mention of arising again. You can arise again or not. That's all the movements we do with arising within the sadhana. Then in the toma, we do it again. Yeah. So we're going to give it an opportunity. Okay, we can settle down. We can take a few moments in silence to settle down. We can adjust our mental and physical posture for the practice just easily, easy going. If we feel any tightness, we try to loosen up both physically and mentally. We can check within our minds. Sometimes we think enlightenment is something out there, something which one has or might not believe in, or but if we check within our minds, we have capacity for many, many different mental states. Sometimes we feel confused, there's confusion, we feel dull. Sometimes we feel very excited or we feel anxious. Or there's irritation or anger or laziness or struggles. This is part of the experience, but there's also part of the experience. In some moments of our lives, we might have contacted some states of feeling more, some inner freedom sometimes, not being so much bound by circumstances. Or we might have experienced some moments of bliss, or some moments of inner clarity, being more awake, not so much taken and driven away. And also at some points we felt love and joy. So this is part of the mind. This is who we are too. And we can have more of that. Now it might be an effort, but it's part of our potential. It's part of who we are. and the capacity of transcending the veils of ignorance, of seeing more that when we can just right now perceive, it's why not? It might also be there. Think if it's a physical thing for you, that mind has this capacity. So awakening, it's a possibility and it's not out there, it's within us. We can have a totally conditioned existence and experience, or we can have a freer, more enlightened, more awaken experience and existence. Think if this is something that you think it's physical, you think it makes sense, you think it's worth it. We can take this as a motivation for being here right now. And this is the same for every sentient being, as long as there is mind. So also animals and birds and other people and beings whom we cannot see. So that's by doing this practice, we can also contribute to their awakening, because there's a lot of suffering in the world, which is not necessary, which could be overcome with a little bit more of compassion, a little bit more of wisdom. So with this, we're going to the purification and healing practice with the help of our own potential and the help of the Heruka Vajrasattva potential. On your right side is your father. On your left side is your mother. Your enemy and those sentient beings who make you agitated are in front of you. People you are attached to are seated behind you. All other universal living beings are surrounding you. Imagine in front of you a standing Heruka embracing Vajravrahi as your principal refuge object. Around him are the Dakas and the Kinis, wrathful gods and peaceful goddesses, and many other Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, and Arhats who have completely attained the everlasting peaceful realization of enlightenment. There are 62 different deities in the Heruka Mandala. Most important is opening up to the possibility of refuge of other beings, their gurus, buddhas, bodhisattvas. Wherever they are, they can manifest here, or wherever they are, they can help us. They can contact with us, we can contact with them. We can open to that possibility. And by going for refuge, we also go for inner refuge, which is our own capacity for purifying, for healing, for awakening our minds. I forever take refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. I take refuge in all the three vehicles, in the Dakas and the Kinis of Sri Krishna Mantra Yoga, in the heroes and heroines, the gods and goddesses, and in the bodhisattvas of the ten bhumis. But most of all, I take refuge in my holy guru forever. I forever take refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. I take refuge in all the three vehicles, in the Dakas and the Kinis of Sikra Mantra Yoga, in the heroes and heroines, the gods and goddesses, and in the bodhisattvas of the ten bhumis. But most of all, I take refuge in my holy guru forever. I forever take refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. I take refuge in all the three vehicles, in the Dakas and the Kinis of Sikra Mantra Yoga, in the heroes and heroines, the gods and goddesses, and in the bodhisattvas of the ten bhumis. But most of all, I take refuge in my holy guru forever. I must become Heruka in order to lead all sentient beings to the sublime state of Herukahood. I must become Heruka in order to lead all sentient beings to the sublime state of Herukahood. I must become Heruka in order to lead all sentient beings to the sublime state of Herukahood. The objects of refuge then melt into light and dissolve into Heruka, who in turn melts into light and dissolves into you. Either through the right to the... Okay, no. You just dissolve wherever you feel, and you know how it goes anyway. Instantaneously, I arise as dark blue Heruka with one face and two arms holding Dorje and Bell. Out of the void, about 6 inches above the crown of my head, appears the seed syllable palm, which transforms into a 1,000-petal lotus. On top of the lotus appears the seed syllable A, which transforms into a moon disc. In the center of the moon disc stands the seed syllable hum. Suddenly, the hum transforms into a white 5-pronged bhaja with a hum at its center. Much radiant light emanates from both the hum and the bhaja, going out into the 10 directions and completing the 2 purposes, offering great psychic blissful energy to all gurus and buddhas, and purifying the defilements of all sentient beings. The whole universe melts into light. This light then returns and is absorbed by the hum in the bhaja. The hum and bhaja also melt into light and transform into Heruka Bhaja Sattva on top of our crown. Vajrasattva is white. He has one face and two arms. Sitting in the full lotus position, he holds Vajra in his right hand at his heart and a bell in his left, which rests in his lap. His consort Dorje Nyima Karmo embraces him, her legs encircling his body. She too is white and has one face and two arms. She holds a curved knife in her right hand and a skull cap in her left. They are both dressed in robes of heavenly silk and adorned by precious jewel ornaments. They both have seed syllables, Om at the crown chakra, A at the throat chakra, and Hum at the heart. Brilliant light radiates from the Hum at the heart, invoking the divine supreme wisdom energy of all the Tathagatas to the space in front of Vajrasattva, in the form of the wisdom beings. We can imagine the wisdom beings in the form of Heruka Vajrasattva. We're going to make offerings to them and they will melt with Heruka Vajrasattva on top of our head, thus giving more power to them. Om Kendaro hi hum hum pe on shuva shuda sarva dharma shuva shudo ham. We bless the offerings. All is void. Out of the void appears a seed syllable A. It turns into a huge white skull cup containing the five meats and nectars. They melt, becoming an ocean of the Amrita energy of divine transcendental wisdom. Om Hum Ha Hori, Om Hum Ha Hori, Om Hum Ha Hori. And we present the offerings. Om Vajrasattva Arga Pratisha Hunsaha. Om Vajrasattva Padya Pratisha Hunsaha. Om Vajrasattva Pupe Pratisha Hunsaha. Om Vajrasattva Dupe Pratisha Hunsaha. Om Vajrasattva Aloke Pratisha Hunsaha. Om Vajrasattva Gende Pratisha Hunsaha. Om Vajrasattva Miude Pratisha Hunsaha. Om Vajrasattva Shatta Pratisha Hunsaha. Yahum Bam Ho. They become non-dual. The wisdom beings who are the wisdom energy of all Tathagatas joyfully sink into Vajrasattva's divine heart, becoming completely one, like a drop of water sinking into the ocean. And now the empowerment of Heruka Vajrasattva on our crown. Again, brilliant light rays radiate from the Hum at the divine heart, invoking all the initiating deities of the five families. Om Penchakula Sapariware. Argam Padyam Pupe Dupe Aloke Gende Nyude Pratisha Hunsaham. O Tathagatas, please restore me the Heruka Vajrasattva initiation. Upon this request, all the Tathagatas hold up their initiation vases, which are full of the Amrita energy of divine transcendental wisdom and the Amrita stars to flow. Om Sarva Tathagata Om. The divine body of perfect absolute wisdom, Heruka Vajrasattva, on our crown. And as Vajrasattva is being purified, we are also being purified. It's completely filled with the Amrita energy of blissful transcendental wisdom, not purified, but empowered. Some Amrita overflows and transforms into Akshobhya, who adorns Vajrasattva's crown. The initiation deities melt into light and sink into Vajrasattva on our crown. At the center of Amun Disk, at the divine heart, stands the seed syllable Hum, encircled by the 100-syllable mantra, standing counterclockwise around the edge of the moon disk. So now we can imagine Vajrasattva, Heruka Vajrasattva, the energy of absolute compassion and wisdom and purification, All we need on top of our crown. Just imagine it. We present offerings to it. Om Vajra Sadva Arga Padya Pupe Dupe Aloke Gende Nyude Shabta Om Vajra Sadva Om Ahom. Non-dual divine wisdom, magnificent inner jewel, ornament of all mother sentient beings, indestructible, magnificent wisdom mind that releases all sentient beings from all negativities of body, speech, and mind, especially broken vows and pledges. To you, glorious Vajrasattva, I prostrate. We offer the mandala. Sashi poki shuji meto chanri ra lin shi ni de gen pa di sangye shin tu mi te uwa yi roku nam da shin la sho pa shok. The right view of sunyata is one with the wisdom of great bliss. This wisdom transforms into Mon Meru, the sun, the moon, and all other phenomena in the universe. I offer everything magnificent to you, ocean of great kindness, who are liberated and who liberates all mother sentient beings as well. The objects of my attachment, aversion, and ignorance, friends, enemies, and strangers, and my body, wealth, and enjoyments. Without any sense of loss or hesitation, I offer this collection. Please accept it with pleasure and bless me and all sentient beings with freedom from the three poisons. Ida Guru Radna Mandala Kam Nidhyata Yamin. The power of regret, a refuge, we contact with all that needs to be purified. Through ignorance and delusion, I have broken and damaged my pledges. Holy Guru, who has the power to liberate me, my inner master, holder of the Vajra, whose essence is great compassion, Lord of all migratory beings, to you I go for refuge. O Bhagavan Vajrasattva, destroyer of all defilements, who has attained all realizations and has passed to the other shore, I request you to please purify all negativities and broken and damaged pledges of myself and all our sentient beings. So we contact with what we need to purify. We can think of vows and pledges that have been broken in this life or others. All negative actions, all the veils of ignorance and obscurations, all the negative habits and tendencies we have. So, as we were saying, all that harms us, all that has harmed us and caused us some pain, we can purify this too. All the blockages that this has left in our bodies and mind. And all kind of things that we might not know. And we're going to purify this with a mantra. Because of this request, brilliant light radiates from the mantra rosary in the home at the divine heart of Vajrasattva. The light purifies all negativities and obscurations of all sentient beings and becomes an offering for all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. The essence of the perfect qualities of their holy body, speech, and mind, all their transcendental wisdom, knowledge wisdom, returns in the form of light rays that sing into the home and the mantra rosary at Vajrasattva's divine heart. From the home and the mantra rosary, a stream of blissful white Amrita energy begins to flow down through the central channel of the divine couple. The Amrita flows out through their secret chakras in union and flows into me through my crown chakra. Flowing down through my central channel, this stream of transcendental wisdom, Amrita energy, fills my whole body, destroying all negativities and defilements of my body, speech, and mind. These are completely purified. This shower of nectar and light purifies body, the body, and it comes from above. It completely purifies the body, and all kinds of negative things come out from the pores down the body. They can come out in form of smoke, black smoke, or also animals, scorpions, and so on. All go away, all sicknesses, all hindrances, all go away. Then we purify the mind with the light that fills our entire body. It goes up, light and nectar, it goes up, and then with a mantra also, it comes out from all the holes of pores from our upper part of the body, and we purify the speech with this. And then we purify the mind with the light that enters and completely fills directly our body, purifying our minds completely. We can take a moment with each. We can do all at the same time, just as we feel comfortable. Om Vajra Heluka Samaya Manupalaya Heluka Dhanapatita. Let the mantra slowly fade away. And connect with a sense of purity and purification. Everything having been clarified, healed, cleansed, purified. I recall emptiness. There's no inherently existent I or action of creating negative karma or negative karma itself. And we can make offerings and praise. Om Vajra Sarva Argam Paryam Pupe Dupe Aloke Gende Nive Shabta Adisha Hunsa Om Vajra Sarva Om Ahum. And to all divine wisdom, magnificent in a jewel ornament of all mother sentient beings, everlasting great bliss, indestructible, magnificent wisdom mind that releases all sentient beings from all negativities of body, speech, and mind, especially broken vows and pledges. To you, glorious Vajra Sarva, I prostrate. Vajra Sarva says, O child of good family, your negativities and obscurations and damage and broken pledges are cleansed and purified. Think that what Guru Vajra Sarva says has actually happened. All your negativities have been completely purified. There's not the slightest trace of defilement left on your mental continuum. Your mental continuum is completely pure. And now the power of restraint. from now on, I'll abstain from all devices that I can abstain from, and I'll abstain from those that are extremely difficult for me to abstain from, for 1 day, 1 hour, 1 minute, or at least a few seconds. Your vow to abstain from creating negative karma pleases Guru Vajrasattva, who will now melt into light and absorb into you. Doje Nyima Karma, if you've received the initiation, it goes to the heart, otherwise it enters between the eyebrows. Doje Nyima Karma is transformed into light and is absorbed into Vajrasattva. Vajrasattva then melts into light and sinks into my heart. My three doors of body, speech, and mind become inseparably one with Vajrasattva's holy body, speech, and mind. Vajrasattva and I are completely one, and I enjoy the bliss of sunyata and full samadhi, beyond the dualistic view that discriminates between subject and object. This is the highest possible enjoyment. We can again recall emptiness. And now we will offer the Dharma, which is at page 20. Remember that with the Dharma we dissolve all our negative tendencies and hindrances and everything. They get dissolved into the Dharma, and then they are transformed into nectar and offered away. Skip the line of arising as Heruka if you don't have the initiation. I instantly arise as dark blue Heruka with one face and two hands, holding Barja and Bell. Standing with my right leg extended, I embrace my consort, the red Barja Varahi, who has one face and two hands and holds a curved knife and skull cap. Onkendarohi hum hum peon shova shuda sarva dharma shova shudo hum. Everything becomes completely void. Out of the non-dual void appears the seed syllable A, which transforms into a very large white skull cup. Inside the skull cup are the five meads and five nectars. The substances melt into liquid and become an ocean of amrita energy of divine, blissful, transcendental wisdom. Oma hum ha ho ji, Oma hum ha ho ji, Oma hum ha ho ji. In front of me appears Bhagavan Vajrasattva with Doje Nyima Karma. On Vajrasattva's tongue, a white hum transforms into a white three-pronged Vajra. From this three-pronged Vajra, hollow tubes of Vajra light appear, through which the essence of the Dharma is drawn forth and enjoyed. Em vaig de saba, saba, riuareida, amb valenta, ca, 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 i ca, i. Em vaig de saba, saba, riuareida, amb valenta, ca, 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 i ca, i. Em vaig de saba, saba, riuareida, amb valenta, ca, 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 i ca, i. Em vaig de saba, arga, paia, pupe, dupe, aloke, gende, niude, Shabta Shahunsa Om Baja Sava Oma Om. Non dual divine wisdom, magnificent inner jewel, ornament of all mother sentient beings, supreme indestructible, magnificent wisdom mind that releases all sentient beings from all negativities of body, speech, or mind, especially broken vows and pledges. To you, glorious Varsasattva, I prostrate. Good, and we dedicate back to page 19 and then the long life dedications for His Holiness the Dalai Lama and Lama Zopa Rinpoche that Charlotte can put on the screen. If you don't have it, they are in the daily prayers. So let's dedicate. Because of this merit, may I quickly become Heruka Vajrasattva and lead each and every sentient being into His divine enlightened realm. May the precious body mind not yet born arise and grow. May that born have no decline, but increase forevermore. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good. All-powerful Chenrezi Tenzin Gyatso, please remain until samsara ends. You who have called the subduers more away, who serve as the bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjunath victorious doctrine, who masterfully accomplish magnificent prayers, honoring the three jewels, savior of myself and others, you disciples, please, please live long. And we take a few moments to make our own dedications and to send energy to those whom we feel they need it. Dedicate for them. May our being here contribute to the awakening, to the end of suffering and well-being, to their well-being. And may we extend this wish to all sentient beings. Which means any sentient being we might encounter in our path. So thank you. Thank you for being here, really. And tomorrow I'll explain the four opening powers in a bit more detail. And the visualizations for the purification, which Maybe we already have. Otherwise, I'll show them to you. I remember, if you want to do 4 sessions a day, we do together the second and the third. There's the first one and the fourth one that we can do by ourselves. We can do the extended or abbreviated version. And I don't know if there's anything else, any question. In any way, we'll make a short pause and then we'll go through the sadhana with more detail for those who want to do it. So we stop here, unless there are some question, and otherwise we can meet at 4:35 p.m. You're 4:35, right? In 5-7 minutes, we meet again and we go through the sadhana. Yeah? Okay, good. Thank you. Hi again. So I think we can go. Maritza, I've seen your question. I hope that now with the sadhana we can clarify this. Do you have any particular questions, or we go through the sadhana and see what comes up? Okay, maybe we can go through the sadhana. I can share it on the screen, but I prefer that we see each other. So I don't share it. If there's anything in particular, I can share it. But because we all have it, I think that should be fine, right? Okay, I won't take a lot of time in any part. I will go a bit general. Well, this is what I say, but then sometimes I just take much longer than expected. So anyway, if I don't say anything that you would like to ask, just please do and see if I'm able to clarify. Okay. So initial visualization, this is easy one. Not at least easy to understand. On your right side is your father. On your left side is your mother. Your enemy and those sentient beings who make you agitated are in front of you. People you are attached to are seated behind you. All other universal living beings are surrounding you. As a visualization, this can be easy. It's a way of it helps body, chitta, mind, right? Our father and mother, and then we put those who are difficult for us in front, just that we take them into account as well. This might be a bit uncomfortable, or we really just don't want to think about this person right now, but this practice helps us develop certain equanimity, right? So that's why we do it. And I won't take a lot of time with this, but it's interesting. It's interesting that we do this, because we can purify myself, but when we take this same problem I have, or same tendency, or same negative karma, and I think, wow, all of them, maybe they have it too, and most probably they have it too. So now that I'm purifying myself, let's take the opportunity to purify everyone. This makes it more powerful. And it also helps in the moment. Sometimes we work with this. Sometimes we purify everyone. Sometimes we all only purify ourselves. But we might find that when we think of this same problem, everyone having it, or now that I'm purifying this, say, fear of mind, I purify fear from everyone, It widens our mind. It makes it more powerful what we're doing. And also sometimes it helps us, because sometimes we are stuck with my problem, right? And when we think, okay, let's open up to everyone, there's something that opens here, and it's good. So it's beneficial for everyone. And you might think, oh, yes, but this is only something from me, you know. But I think that there's something that touches them as well. This is what is said. And it said, the stronger our concentration and our mind is, and the stronger and closest our connection is with certain persons, they receive something too. So that's interesting. And sometimes we feel like, oh, I don't want to practice, I feel lazy, I would rather go for a walk, right? But when we put everyone around us, it's like, okay, let's do it. Let's do it now that we have the opportunity. It gives us motivation and strength. We've been thinking about ourselves for many lifetimes, so it's about time. Then refuge, we're taking option one, which is the elaborated one. See, refuge, we imagine it's, we've been talking about this, so I won't take a long time. It's making our sense of refuge alive, and the imagining this sense of refuge manifests in form of us, in the form of Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, Dhakas, Dakinis, just makes it more vivid. It might be difficult. This is a lot of beings in front of us. You know, this is the elaborated one. It's Heruka with Varjavarahi. And around him are Dhakas and Dakinis. These are practitioners of the Tantra. Wrathful gods and peaceful goddesses, different kinds of deities we might be working with, and many other Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, Arhats. Arhats are liberated beings, those who have attained Nirvana. So we can imagine all of those, but it's not that we need to go into the whole detail. We just bring the energy here. We can. This is the whole mandala of Heruka, but we can think just light if you want, if you feel more comfortable with. Or we can go for option two, which is called all in one. There's main figure, only one, Vajradhara, as the principal object refuge. Vajradhara is blue in color, is described here. He sits in the lotus position and embraces his consort Dorje Palmo. She's red in color, symbolizing blissful desire energy. Vajradhara is one nature with your guru. The essence of Vajradhara is your guru. This is the key point. We can imagine the energy. We're calling for the energy of great beings to come forth. We're opening our minds to receive this contact. Remember, Lama Monlam said, quite often, this is one of the most beautiful practices, Guru Yoga. This is not Lama. Lama Monlam is one of my gurus. Lama Zopa Rinpoche continuously says that. But what Lama Monlam said is, the guru is always there, giving the hand. Is his hand or her hand is always there. You just need to go and take it, right? If we don't do this, they can be available for everyone, but if we don't open up to receive something, to contact with their energy, we're closed. We can do it all by ourselves. I'm going to purify myself, right? I'm going to attain enlightenment myself. But if there is someone who has already done it, whose mind is more powerful than ours, more purified, is more in this state we were saying of harmony and wisdom and compassion, let it help me. I mean, right? So with the refuge, we're doing this and also taking refuge in ourselves, our inner capacity, our inner guru. We're activating this. So just choose whichever one is more comfortable for you. And then the prayer for refuge. And then generating bodhicitta. I must become Heruka in order to lead all sentient beings to a sublime state of Herukahood. We might think of Heruka, or we might think of I must become enlightened. I must develop myself. Then as it says here, I won't read it all the time because we're getting to know it now. In the instructions, it says, the objects of refuge then melt into light and dissolve into Heruka. Heruka in front, who in turn melts into light and dissolves into us, right? We're having Heruka, the refuge field in front, or Vajradhara, if you're working with Vajradhara, melts into light and dissolves into us. And we think we have become one. We can meditate on emptiness shortly. And now we arise as the deity. If we have taken the highest yoga tantra initiation of Heruka, we arise as Heruka. If we have taken another highest yoga tantra initiation, we arise as that deity. Otherwise, we skip this line. We've just absorbed the refuge objects. Yeah. And now it comes. The visualization of Heruka Vajrasattva. This is on top of our crown. It will stay there all the time. This is our main energy we're working with. This is Heruka Vajrasattva. And Heruka Vajrasattva is Vajrasattva in the context of Heruka. So it has the form of Vajrasattva. I'm going to share the screen. But you have it anyway in the resources page. We have the image. It's this one. It's Father Mother. It's Vajrasattva with consort. So it's completely white. And it's Father Mother energy. And it's at the same time is our guru's wisdom, but it's also our own wisdom and capacity for purification that is manifesting on top of our crown. So here is the explanation of the process. It doesn't appear all of a sudden. There's a syllable palm which transforms into a petal, a thousand petal lotus. On top of this is a syllable A which transforms into moon disc. You can either imagine the Tibetan syllables or our syllables. If it's difficult for you, just imagine things are happening. Then a hum, which transforms into a vajra with a hum at the center. And then light goes out into the 10 directions, completing the two purposes. The two purposes are offering. This is Lama Yeshe's terminology, great psychic blissful energy. To all gurus and buddhas, this means enlightened energy and purifies all sentient beings. We can imagine this happens and then the whole universe melts into light and the light returns and is absorbed into the hum in the vajra. They are facing as we're facing. They are facing, looking like in front. Do we visualize them reciting with Vajrasattva above them too? They are here. So now the whole refuge field has melted into light, has been absorbed into us. We either stay like this, or become Heruka, and then our deity, and then Vajrasattva is on top of us. Vajrasattva, Father Mother. This is our image now, right? There's only one Vajrasattva with consort, facing same way we were facing. Then there's the description, and they have Om Ahum at the crown, throat, and heart. This is body, speech, and mind completely purified. And now we bless the offerings. This tantra comes from tantric practices. In tantric practices, we work a lot with offerings and with energy, moving of energy. So what do we offer? It's a way of accumulating merit. This is positive energy, and it helps our mind be opened and feel full. The offerings that we're offering, we imagine that they fill the whole entire sky. It's filled with offerings. I mean, we imagine all the beautiful things we can imagine. We offer. Now we're going to offer some special things, but this helps us open our minds, and it's meant also to help us overcome attachment and feel fulfilled and satisfied. Actually, if we do it well, the more we do it and so on, is like, well, if I can feel satisfied with these offerings I'm imagining, and with the fact that I am offering, you know, if I can put myself in a mood of generosity, and I imagine beautiful flowers and water and jewels, and this fills me, this satisfies me. So what do I have to go around, you know, seeking for more things? It's a way of transforming attachment. Otherwise, we usually feel empty. Something's missing, right? So we need to take things from the outside all the time. And this is one of the main reasons we get lost in samsara, in this condition existence, which is not outside, is inside. This is a way of being which is totally dependent of karma and afflictions that come up without me choosing them to come up. They just pop up, and I need to be with them, whether I like it or not. And a lot of this is due to attachment, because we crave things outside all the time, right? Why? Because we don't feel fulfilled inside. Why? Because we're not contacting our true nature. We're on the surface looking around. And we feel separated. And also because there's this ignorance, thinking I am here and others are there, and we miss all the interdependence. So we feel separated, and therefore we feel something's missing. There's no union, there's no harmony. There's something missing. There's an empty state that we try to get rid of by taking things from the outside. So if we have things from the outside, please enjoy them. Please enjoy them, because it's what we have now, and we're really dependent on of those things now. So don't we try not to make ourselves unhappy by renouncing to what we cannot renounce now, right? But the more we feel ourselves from the inside, the less attachment we have, the less samsaric mind we have. And this is a means of doing so. So it's not here just because. It's tradition. It's really every step, it does something to us. We do something to us. You know, so Om Kenderohi Hum Humpe, this dispels all the hindrances, cleanses the offerings. We imagine this. I'm not entering into the detail of all the visualizations. It's like we can imagine that anything that prevents us from seeing things beautifully, it's driven away. Om Swabhava Shuddha Sarva Dharma Swabhava Shuddha Aham. This recalls emptiness. Then all is white. Out of the white appears the seed syllable A. It turns into huge white skull cap. We can imagine huge, filling the whole sky, containing the five meats and nectars. This is the ordinary substances. It contains ordinary substances, like meat, for instance. They melt, becoming an ocean of the Amrita energy of divine transcendental wisdom. So we imagine that all these ordinary things, they become wonderful and beautiful. And we imagine so the things we have in the altar, the substances that represent all that we're going to offer, now they are not anymore a few things in the altar. They fill the whole sky with beautiful things. We do this mental transformation. Om Ahum HaHochri is the mantra that makes this transformation out of emptiness. Why? Because they are empty, we can see things differently. We don't, something that is kind of just ordinary and normal. It depends also on how we look at it. It's empty of existing necessarily that way. There's a substance there that with my mind, it can be turned into a beautiful experience of that thing. You follow me? So our mind and our karma is what makes that one thing is experienced in one way or the other. It's what establishes experience. So we are establishing here a wonderful experience of offering and feeling filled with them. This is the idea. So then we present the offerings. And this now we're going to enjoy the offerings. The idea is we're enjoying the offerings. And the mind that enjoys is a mind that is more flexible. It has more light, is lighter. The mind of attachment is very fixed. The mind of enjoyment is more subtle, is more light, is more flexible. You follow me? So with this, we're trying also to go into a more subtle touch, a more subtle state of mind, and transform attachment into this. So are you familiar with the offerings, or I go through them? Argan, Padi, and Pupe. These are the traditional offerings. This comes from a tradition that comes from India. And in India, there were some traditional offerings, which were the beautiful things one would offer to someone important who comes home. We usually offer a good meal. In India, there were certain substances that were offered. Argam is water to drink. Padiam is water to wash, especially to wash and refresh the feet. Pupa is flowers. Dupa is incense. Aloka is candles. Gende is perfume. Nude is food. This is universal, we all like. And Shatta is music. And there are mudras. I'm not going to extend myself now in the mudras. Do you want me to do them? Maybe we go through the sadhana and then we see what happens. Okay. Well, here is explained actually. We have it here. Oh. Presenting the offerings to the wisdom beings. We're presenting to the wisdom beings. This means that the wisdom beings are here already, huh? But it's not set. So now here, before presenting the offerings, we imagine that more Vajrasattva come. Another figure of Vajrasattva comes. This is called wisdom being. It's like we have imagined Vajrasattva here. Then we call what is called wisdom beings, the actual ones, to come and melt into light. It's reinforcing. It's kind of reinforcing our visualization here. So we offer to them, and with Ja Hum Bam Ho, the Vajrasattva, which is the wisdom being, same form, it melts into Vajrasattva and stabilizes our image of Vajrasattva on top of our crown. Yeah? And then the empowerment by the five Buddha families is, again, we have... We have invoked these wisdom beings before blessing the offerings. I haven't said it. I'm saying it now. Are you following? Yeah? Because I didn't read that sentence. I went directly into the offerings. Then empowerment is the same. We visualize Hiruka and the whole deities. And then they offer initiation to the Vajrasattva on the crown. We imagine this water being poured them into them, and then they become even more stabilized. This is elements that they are in many practices. We might find it difficult, or we might resonate with it. We just, you know, it's just like a film. Things happen. They come and go. And everything has a purpose. We could say, no, I don't like this part. I take it off. I take it out. But we would be probably missing things that we don't understand. And it's the way, if we do this, it would be the way of losing it all. Because I take this out, the other one takes that out, you know. So just there. It works. These practices, they do work. You know, it's the first time. First time, how many people is the first time that encounter a sadhana like that? Okay, not so many. Good. Then praise, we offer to Hiruka Vajrasattva. Now it's complete, full, empowered, and everything, right? It's up there in our crown, is our own energy. We make offerings again, we make praise, we offer the mandala. Recall page 15 that in the mandala we offer the whole universe, beautiful, and page 15 we even offer the objects of my attachment, aversion, and ignorance. So we transform it all. We're able to give it all, you know, to we're able to be free from all our delusions. And then the opponent power of regret and refuge. We have done refuge before. We recall again refuge here. And the power of regret is important because we're touching what we want to purify. It's not meant to be a feeling of feeling guilty. It's just recognizing that there are some things that went wrong, that we did wrong, that we could have done better. You know, I did what I could. I harmed others, and I didn't keep my promises and so on. I did what I could, or maybe I could have done it better, but I didn't. So this is what I have now. It's not meant to make me feel guilty or poor thing or worthless. Just this will bring suffering, so I don't want it, right? And the more we stay there, the more we give ourselves the opportunity to purify it, because the more we touch it. And we can think of vows and pledges and promises that we have not kept. We can think of mistakes we've done in regards to our Dharma friends and gurus, you know, that prevent us from connecting with the Dharma again and so on. We can think of negative actions directly. We can go one by one to the 10 most usual negative actions, such as killing, lying, sexual misconduct, and so on. We can think we're purifying problems we are having or we will have in the future, difficulties in life, hindrances in our practice, obstacles in our practice. We can think we are purifying obscurations, ignorance and obscurations, and negative tendencies and negative patterns and habits we might have. Maybe I am my anger comes up quite easily for me, for instance, or fear, or I can purify these negative habits, which are quick responses that we have. And as we were saying this morning, we can also purify in the sense of healing things that have been done to us. And they created a blockage, a trauma inside. We will need to purify those in the sense that we will need to cleanse them. Otherwise, they become an obstacle and they are painful also. And they make us feel poor, like small, worthless. And sometimes they make us feel even guilty, right? I did something when someone has harmed us. Maybe we feel guilty. We provoked it. We feel we have provoked this. And so we try to heal all of these things also. So sometimes we're there purifying and we think, oh, I don't have anything special to purify. But, right, maybe it has happened to you because we're kind of more or less well at some points. It's like, but if we start to think, we make this list, you know, and we think maybe there are some more lives than not only this one. So who knows what there is there. Right? So it's good. And we can make it general, but we can take one thing and especially work with this one thing. And then thinking that you're purifying, by doing this, we're at the same time purifying everything, and we can think we're purifying all other beings also. And sometimes we can just visualize puring water nectar from Bharasattva to us, but sometimes it can go all around purifying others. You can try this. It's sometimes it makes you feel better. It's like my thing becomes more relative. And it can help have more strength for purification. If I'm thinking I'm purifying the fear that I'm feeling by my practice, I purify the fear that others are feeling, for instance. There's some kind of relief and strength there. You can try. It depends on the moment also. Now, the power of remedy is the specific practice we do. In this moment, we do Vajrasattva practice. There are other practices apart from Vajrasattva. Now we're doing Vajrasattva. The visualization is there. And then we do it with a mantra. The visualization, we encompass it with a mantra. We can recite the Heruka mantra, Heruka Vajrasattva mantra, as it is written here, or the general Vajrasattva mantra, which Neil was talking about, which is in the other practice. If you're more familiarized with this one, then it goes on Vajrasattva Samaya. no em vaig de Hirukasamaya. Or, if you're not familiarized with it at the beginning, if you want, you can just go with a short mantra, Om Vajrasattvahum. If you want to keep doing this practice, it's good, the long mantra, because it's got all this whole meaning and essence. And then I'm going to show you the visualizations for the purifications. You have, Julie has put it in the resource page if you want. What I've told you this morning is it's called Vajrasattva Appendices in the resource page. And not this one. Yeah. It has the meaning of the mantra, what you have, and the methods for purification. First is purification of body. Visualize the white, blissful Kundalini energy flows down from Vajrasattva Father Mother in union into your central channel. We can visualize central channel or just the whole body. It spreads through your nervous system, flowing very strongly like water coming from a hose or like a very powerful shower. It's light and is also nectar. And flushes out all negativities of your body, speech, and mind, through the and especially body, usually through the openings and pores of the lower part of your body. All this negative energy is expelled in the form of snakes, scorpions, ants, longworms, and so on, or as black tar or dirty black oil or smoke, wherever you feel. Feel that you are complete at the end, while doing it, and also especially at the end, feel that you are completely purified, clear, especially your gross negativities, and overcome with blissful energy. We just sit there and think and imagine this is happening. And if we do this, there's something that it gets moved there. Second method, the blissful Kundalini energy slowly fills your body starting from below. It comes from Vajrasattva and it goes like a jar from below. As the level of Amrita rises, your negativities start to rise as well, floating on top of the nectar, like oil floating on water. Your negativities and defilements are slowly pushed upward by the pure Amrita Kundalini energy, especially those of the speech, and it gradually overflows out of your body through all your upper orifices and your crown chakra. Then you experience great bliss. And we can mix it with a sense of relief, of having thrown heaviness off body, of speech, of mind. And the third method, an immense amount of powerful light energy, limitless blissful Kundalini energy in the form of light radiates from Vajrasattva's heart. Immediately as it makes contact with your crown chakra, the negative energy, especially your ignorant attachment energy and all the negativities of the mind, completely disappear, just as when a bright light is switched on in a dark room. The darkness instantly and completely disappears. You cannot say that the darkness leaves through the window or through the door when a light is turned on. It just disappears, no longer existing anywhere at all. And as I was saying there, if there is this chattering mind within that it says, yes, but no, I know it's still not gone, there's something there, or wherever, just don't pay too much attention. Just stay there with the light. is like, it's called bringing the result into the present, right? Just stay there. And it slowly happens. And it, sometimes it's not so slowly happens. It's things are moved when we do these things. So at the end of the mantra recitation, we will always stop for a while to just be there. And we can say goodbye. I sometimes say goodbye to things, you know, this one is gone, this one is gone, this one is gone. And then blissful energy. And I know it might come back, but now it's gone. You know what I mean? So then offerings and prayers to is kind of be grateful with the practice, with the fact that we can have access to these practices and to these beings, and grateful to ourselves too that we're doing this and that we have this potential. Then confirmation of purification, Vajrasattva, which is our guru, which is ourselves, confirms you're purified, we stay there for a while. Then the power of restraint, this is a good one, also is kind of the seal. You know, I'm purifying this, for instance, lying. Then I will seal it with, I'm not going to lie today. If it's difficult for me, I can say, I'm not going to lie tonight, just before going to sleep. So then I will wake up and I will have been sleeping. So no chance, at least maybe in my sleeps. But, you know, something that we can keep. Otherwise, we keep breaking our promises and we go nowhere with that. So be realistic. I usually, for the difficult ones, maybe I take tomorrow, I won't do that. I won't do this for the rest of my life. Well, if you can, if you have the strength, go ahead, but who knows what can happen, you know? So, and this, for some of ones, of some things, it can be difficult, but on the other hand, it can give us strength, right? Yes, I'm going to be able to do that, at least for tomorrow. It's a very skillful way of changing negative habits. Bit by bit, we will change them. Or I will try to be, you can go, I will try. So that in case something happens, you're more, you know. So I will try to be more aware when I do this. No, the whole thing is abstaining from, but we can also do this kind of things. And then we absorb Guru Vajrasattva in the way it says here, Dojenye Makarmo is transformed into light and is absorbed into Vajrasattva, then Vajrasattva melts into light. And if we don't have received, haven't received the empowerment, it comes between our, the light becomes, comes and enters between our eyebrows. Otherwise, it goes directly through the crown into the heart. And we stay there being one. And then we dedicate. And in the last session of the day, usually is the fourth session, we're doing it now in the third session because we're all together, we offer the Torma. This we have explained is also an offering, is a Thanksgiving offering. And we imagine that all our hindrances, they go into the Torma, they transform into nectar, so they go away. And by doing so, we can feel also protected. The Torma we offer to Vajrasattva, we offer also to protectors. We can feel that There's an energy surrounding us that helps us, giving us protection from hindrances, external and internal. It's very interesting how karma, how tantra works. It's doing something from the subtle, from the subtle mind. We're doing something with our subtle minds. What can we use to represent tormas? We can talk a little. I wanted to talk a little bit more about the altar, because we have the altar, proper altar, with the two rows of offerings and the three tormas, because I've prepared it. So that's why I said, you now you at home, do whatever you want. But it's good to do it properly. Now we are doing it properly. We're doing a retreat. When we do the retreat together, we use only normally have one altar, so it's fine. It's fine, right? Now, if you feel like it, you can have the altar at home. It would be two rows, one from the left, one from the right. One is for the deity here, and the other is for the deities that come and melt. And then the tormas can be done traditionally. There are usually three tormas. One is for the main deity, now it's Varjasattva Hiruka. One is for protectors, the other one is for the what is called the Lord of the Site, which are the beings in the different places. They perceive our minds. If they perceive we're doing offerings, they are happier, they help us. It's conducive environment. So we have these tormas here. It's good if you can to have this altar. Now we have it. So you can just light a candle, as we said, or you can prepare it all. The tormas can be done in the traditional way, or we can put cakes, usually it's piled up cakes, biscuits or cookies, piled up. We can do this, make it nice and beautiful. We want to feel good when we offer. So if we buy the cheapest one, we will feel a bit, I don't know, greedy or whatever, you know, we want to feel more splendid than that. So the idea is making them good quality. As with the offerings, it's mainly for us that we do it good quality, because otherwise there's something that is not quite working, right? But if we cannot, we work with what we have, and it's fine. So this is more or less it. The tormas, usually there's the main one is bigger, and then the other one, they go one on both sides, one at each side of the big one. And the offerings, one is from left to right, and the other one is from right to left. We can put water, 7 bowls of water, or we can put saffron water, or we can put the actual offerings, argan, paradi, and pulpe. Most important Hello. Is the practice. The thing of keeping the altar is it's nice to do it, and it's nice. I mean, this comes from a whole tradition that it's worked. If we start doing this, I don't put this, I don't put, and this, I don't put. Of course, the practice is what is more important, but we might be missing something, you know. And it's the way of in a general way. Maybe it doesn't happen anything if I don't put the altar. The practice is more important. But now we're in a group, it's important that we do things properly. We have done it, the altar is there. Because otherwise it's the way that things degenerate, right? Frustrations, I don't like, I don't do them. Don't do them if you don't like them, but don't say they don't work, because who knows, you know? It's been working for a long time for many people. Maybe it's just not working for me because I'm not up to it, or I don't like it, or whatever, or I don't give it the opportunity. But when these things change from one culture to another, it's kind of difficult to decide what is tradition, what is culture, what is not. So, and now it's the first decades that this is happening here in the West, that we can have access to this profound, tremendously profound practices. So let's try to make them work. Just not this. Okay, this, yeah. And I wanted to say something, and Annette as well, right? Anne, go ahead.
Thank you. It was me that was asking about the offerings. I put traumas, I meant offerings. When you put them, you can't
hear
me.
Can you hear, Anne?
I've got my mute. I can hear you, yes. And I do have my mute off. Okay. I'll go and find my iPad. I'll text you. Okay.
I can hear you, Anne. I can hear you.
Yeah, now I can't hear you.
Yeah.
Worry. Yeah.
Can you?
It was me. It was, yeah. It was my computer. Okay. Yeah. Could you repeat?
Okay. Sorry. I asked the question badly. I'm not thinking very clearly at the moment. I was really meaning the offerings. When you lay them left to right to left, which one is nearer to you and which one is nearer to the deities?
Ah, okay. First one, left to right. Second one, right to left.
But what do you mean with first and second?
Okay, so nearer to you.
The one closer to you.
Is left to right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I have a question about the traumas.
Yeah.
Because they should be made of three sweets and three whites.
Yeah.
Are you really meant to put, for instance, let's say you're doing a retreat of a week and you want to put up traumas. Do you really want to have a jar of yogurt on your altar then?
Yeah, when it says you do it with three whites and three sweets, usually whites is milk and butter and yogurt, and sweets is honey and sugar and molasses, or two types of sugar, white and brown. You can check that your cookies have those, or otherwise you can make a mix of those and add it on the top of the biscuits.
Okay, so if there's butter in the cookies, it's okay.
Yeah, okay. It's okay. Yeah,
and do you leave the roll? You leave it like it is, or do you unwrap it?
It depends. I've seen it all the ways. You can, if it's beautiful enough for you with the plastic and everything, you can leave it there. Or if you can take it out, it's more kind. I usually prefer to take it out, but it's depend of how you feel more comfortable with. And now that we're doing it properly, kind of before the last session, usually a cookie is added. We put a bowl there and we add a cookie so that we keep refreshing the traumas every day before we offer them. Anyone feels struggling or uncomfortable with some of these things? Oh, Barbara wanted to say something.
Well, it's not it's not a complaint or a worry. When we did this very long Vajragini retreat with Geshe Tashi, he used to make the most amazing altars. He's a bit like Lama Yeshe, and he would make. We did a winter one, so he would buy Christmas Christmas pudding. I don't know if you have it in Spain. Anyway, they're sort of big and round, and they had red. They were red, obviously, for Vajragini, and he turned them upside down, and he used them on the altars. And then walnut whips. Does anybody know walnut whips? They're great tormers. And they're well, you don't have to be vegetarian on the altar, but they make great tormers as well. So if you ever saw Lama Yeshe's altar, you'd put, he had aeroplanes and all sorts of things on his, so you can really make it exciting. Anyway, that's just, you can get nice things. And also, Geshe Tashi used to say that if you're going to do a month or some a long one, to put it in a jar so it doesn't attract the mice, if you're in a place where there's lots of little animals, like Land of Joy. Not my flat, but do you know what I mean? Anyway, sorry, that was just my encouragement of using whatever you have.
Good, thank you. It makes you feel good when you have a wonderful altar, right? Okay. So, you know, I think our culture has become quite dull and boring in terms of spirituality. Not there are certain not everywhere. There are certain persons who have deep spirituality and contemplative techniques, but in general, I think our society has gone very dull and very boring into this. We think it's brainwashing, or it's kind of, you know, wherever, but we're missing a really important part of who we are and how reality is and how magical and beautiful it can be and powerful. And well, I think we're lucky to be doing this and to be able to meet those beings who really you feel there's something there, right? They are from another planet, or it's something else. There's something there. So good. Okay, so we can leave it here. Yeah. And we continue tomorrow, or if you want, if you can, we have a session, fourth session by ourselves. It can be 5-minute session if you want, or longer. And thank you very much. And we continue tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.